Amen. Turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6. Well, it's good to be here this evening. It's good to see each one of you here. Thank the Lord for the opportunity of being with you. We're looking forward to God doing something in my heart this weekend. And I hope that you are too. And I hope you won't take it for granted, but you'll let the Lord speak to you. And that you'll be willing to do whatever He tells you to do in this meeting. And just a word about the service. I think we're planning a special night geared just to, or mainly to, young people on Saturday night. And so I hope you'll go out sometime between now and then and invite every young person that you can, mamas and daddies and everybody that's lost, and there'll be a special service on Saturday night. And Lord willing, we'll be doing a special message on Satanism and all this stuff about that's going on in the world tonight, and signs of the times and the second coming of Jesus. Now, I believe that most of you understand that we're living now in the last 10 years of the last century of the sixth millennium that God's given man. I mean, that's getting down to the last few minutes. The last 10 years of the last 100 years of the last 1,000 years. And we're running out of time. And you can feel it. If you're saved, you know it. People used to say, boy, there's a lot of signs. There were signs a few years ago. Now it's getting plumb spooky. It really is. I'm wanting the Lord to come on. Boy, I tell you, did you hear just the other day? Somebody told me, I didn't hear it, but two people told me they had this week on the news that they had dammed up and blocked the Euphrates River. You hear about that? That's getting wild, man. If we don't hurry and go, our doctrine's going to be wrong. That's right. We better do a great disappearing act here in a few years if something don't give. But I believe the Lord's coming, and this may be the last one of these meetings we're ever in. Oh, you hear that all the time, but it just might be. And I hope that every one of us will do all that we can, not only just get our soul fed in here, but bring every person that you can into these meetings. Get them under the sound of the gospel. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. We've got about, I think, 50 or 60 of our folks down this week. A bunch of our young people, and they're going to be singing. And I hope you get a blessing out of that. And we praise the Lord for giving them a good, safe trip down here. And we just hope that we'll get something, and you'll get something that'll do us some good. Leviticus 6, 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, how to keep the fire burning. And I believe tonight there's ever been a time, well, you know, most of our churches are trying to get a fire started, but you've got one going here, and I want to tell you how to keep it burning. And I want to use fire in the sense that I'm sure you'll understand this evening. And I want to say three things about the fire of God burning in our life. I understand doctrinally what Matthew 3 is talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I understand that. I understand about doctrinally the fire being the lake of fire. But I'm not, what always makes good preaching don't always make good doctrine. And so tonight I'm going to preach a message on how to keep the fire burning in your heart. And I want to use fire in the sense that you and I know it as, quote, being on fire for the Lord. So you understand where I'm coming from. I'm going to use it in the sense of so-and-so got fired up. We're not talking about literal fire. We're talking about holy fire that burns down inside of a child of God when they really get, as we call it, a burning desire to do something for the Lord. Now, I want to say three things. Number one, I'm going to talk about the wind that starts the fire. Number two, I'm going to talk about the water that stops the fire. And then number three, the wood that sustains the fire. Now, I'll tell you how to keep the fire burning. Let's talk about the wind that starts a fire. There ain't nothing that'll make a fire burn like wind blowing on it. When the wind starts blowing, that fire just burns brighter and brighter. I told some of those folks the other day, not long ago, that I had a big brush pile out in my side of my house where I'd done some work on the yard. And I had a great big pile of brush there about as high as the ceiling here and about as wide as from here to that wall. And I wanted to get rid of it. And there's a boy from the church came over there. He said, "You want me to burn that brush pile for you?" And I said, "Yeah, get rid of it. I'd appreciate it." He said, "I'll be over here tomorrow morning and I'll get rid of it for you." And I said, "Okay." And sure enough, next morning, there he was. He came over to burn that pile of brush. And he told me, he said, now, "You watch that thing. Don't let it get out and up through the woods there. We'll burn half the mountain over there and I'll get in trouble." He said, "Don't you worry about it. It's been raining a lot. That fire ain't going to get out." And just to make sure it didn't, I took a rake and went all the way around that brush pile, and I raked me out a little path about that wide so that when the fire burned up to where that leaf was, it wouldn't go any further. And I left the next morning, and he had that thing starting to burn, and I said, "Now you stay here and watch that thing, J.D., till all that is burned up." He said, "Don't you worry about it. Just go on and do whatever you're going to do, and I'll watch it." And I said, "Okay." So I got back about a little after 1 o'clock that afternoon, and sure enough, that brush pile was gone, and just a little bit of smoke coming up there from the ashes. And I thought, "Hallelujah, I sure am glad to get rid of that mess out of my yard." And I took me a nap, laid down, had to go to church that night, and I laid down for a little while. And while I was laying down, it cleared off, and the sky got blue, and the wind started blowing. It's back about last in March sometime that year. And boy, the wind started just a whipping up through the holler there. And boy, it just started coming in little puffs. I laid down about an hour, and I woke up, and I noticed, looked out the window, there was a lot of smoke out in my yard. And I looked, it went out the back door, and I walked out on the porch, and sure enough, that wind had come up through there and caught a hold of those that little smoke, and there was some ashes still bright in there, blew them across that little path, and there went the fire up through the wood. It was already a place right wide near that wall over yonder where it's just going up through the wood. Well, I run and got the water hose. I had 2 water hoses hooked together, and I turned the water on. That was 100 feet, and I started squirting. It didn't squirt as far as I'm hearing that organ. It just went like that. I said, "Lord, I can't put it out like this." I hollered at Mom. My mom's in the house babysitting. I said, "Mom, woods is on fire. Call the fire department." And so they called the fire department, and it wasn't but just a few minutes. Boy, that wind, every time that wind goes, just come up like that, and boy, it'd jump about that far every time that wind would blow. And that fire kept going up through there. Make a long story short, about 3 hours later, about the time I got ready to go to church, they had bulldozers up there going up through the woods, cutting trails around through there, men working. I had to go to church, so I didn't fool with it. I said, "It'll let them put it out." And boy, that's what the job is. And I told, before it got over with, there was 7 acres of woods burned behind my house, I said, "I did not start that fire." They went and gave J.D. a warning ticket for burning that brush pile there, and he got in trouble. But I tell you what made that fire burn is wind. The wind blowing. You know what a wind's a picture of in the Bible? What's it a picture of? The Holy Spirit of God. You know what we need here tonight? We need the wind to blow. We need the Lord to just come through and just through here. Well, one real good time will start the fire. That's the wind that start the fire. All the way through the Bible it did that. The Lord made Adam, and Adam wasn't worth a dime when God first made him. He just laying there. He had hands, he had a mouth, had eyes, had ears, but he just laying there, just a pile of dust. And that's what we're made of. We ain't even good dirt, just dust. And was laying there, and he couldn't talk, he couldn't hear, he couldn't breathe, he couldn't eat, he couldn't walk. But God did one thing. You know what he did? He blew on him. And the Lord went down, he goes, and when he did that, Adam's eyes opened, and boy, he raised up and said, "What's for supper?" And the Lord fixed on something there, and you know what done that? The wind that God blew into him. You know what a Sunday school class needs? It needs God to breathe on it. You know what a church needs? God to breathe on it. There's a young preacher come to me one time. He said, "I've started a church." He said, "Do you give me any advice?" And I said, "Yep. Pray until God breathes breath of life into that church. Because nothing will take the place of the breath of God upon our life. Nothing will take the place of the breath of God on our teaching, on our preaching, on our singing. We must have the wind to start the fire." We see the same thing happen over there to Ezekiel. And bless his heart, he had his work cut out for him. He was called to preach, and he would go out there every Sunday morning. And he went out there, and there wasn't nothing but a bunch of skeletons. And as they lay him there, good evening, folks. They just laid there. He said, it sure is good to have all of you with us this morning. They didn't make nary a crack of smile or nothing. And nobody said a word. He was the pastor of the first church of the Valley of Dry Bones that God had called him a pastor. And, you know, that didn't cause him a whole lot of trouble, but they wasn't very fun to be around, neither. And they're just dead, man. They were there every Sunday, but they were dead. A lot of preachers have to preach to a crowd like that every single Sunday morning. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. There they just sit. Well, ain't it great to be saved? They just sit. You know what's the matter with them? They're dead. They're nothing but bones. And so one time Ezekiel said, he said, now, Lord, I've got to get me a quartet in here. And God, I believe if I had Pat Boone to come in here next week, and we advertised it all over town, and after that, you know, we'd get them all together, and we get this something going, and we had the inspirations right behind them, and the Kingsmen right behind them, and the Statesmen behind them, and then Amy Grant, and next thing, then the Lord said, man, yeah, that ain't going to do them no good. He said, but God, I've invited them to everything, they won't come. And the Lord said, I tell you what you do. You see that stump right over there? You get on that stump and preach. And he said, but they won't listen. And the Lord said, just shut up and do what I tell you to do. He said, all right, God. And so he said, I'll do it. He took his scroll. He climbed up on that stump over there. And he said, all right, you bunch of dry bones out there. And the Bible says, you better repent. And you better get right. And boy, they wasn't listening. But God started getting a blessing out of that. And the Lord started saying, amen. And they kept preaching. And the Lord said, mm-hmm. And he kept preaching. And the Lord said, that's good, boy. And he kept preaching, and God got such a blessing, he went, amen. And when he did that, that wind come across that valley. And boy, when that wind hit that crowd of bones, them bones started a shaking like that, and started getting like that, and getting like that. And next thing you know, he said, come here, a song leader, and lead us in a song. And they said, all right, let's sing, folks. And they said, the ankle bone connected to the foot bone connected to the knee bone connected to the leg bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord blowed on that crowd. And what does the Bible say? There stood up a very great army. You know, our churches ain't army anymore. No wind, man. No wind. We've got to have the wind. We've got to have the wind. You see the same thing on the day of Pentecost. They did the same thing. Every time, you know, they was up there in the upper room, they was praying. They were scared to go out there and do anything. They wasn't up there because it's the spiritual. They were scared to go out there and face the crowd. So they were out there saying, oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. About that time, here come that same wind. Same one that blowed on Adam. Same one that blowed on them bones. It come as a what? Rushing, mighty wind. There you go. And that wind come through there. And boy, it began to blow across that crowd. And boy, the next thing you know, there was tongues as a fire started. Fire started burning. Wind blew. Fire burned. And boy, they come out of there like a bunch of maniacs and jumped on top of car hoods and everything else. They had armloads of tracks. And they went up and down them street like crazy people. They was cussing and denying the Lord a few days ago. But when the wind blew on them, the fire got burning. They were willing to face the whole crowd. Nothing will make a fire burn like wind. That's the wind that starts the fire. How long has it been since you got in your prayer closet? Really, I'm serious. And got down there and said, now God, I'm just going to wait on you till the wind blows on me. And boy, when that wind blows, you won't have to try to do it. You don't have to learn to preach. You'll preach, boy, it'll come out. It'll come out sideways if it has to. But it will come out. The disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And boy, when those disciples learned how to pray, the wind blew and the fire burned. But let's talk secondly tonight about the water that stops the fire. You know, when that fire department come up my house, put that fire out that day, they used water. Nothing will make a fire burn like wind. Nothing will put a fire out like water. Now, the devil has a fire brigade. He has a fire department. And his job is to put the fire out in your life. And the devil sees a church as he zips over Pensacola every now and then. And he, you know, the devil's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's probably in Tokyo right now, checking on things, or Shanghai, or going over Los Angeles. Now he's back over yonder in New York. He'll zip, around the earth like that. But he got a scanner, see? And he looks over there. Hop, there's a fire burning right over there. And he calls these demons, says, go over there and put that fire out. So he sends these demons down here to put the fire out in your life. Now they come with their water. And every one of them's got a 5-gallon bucket. And they got water in there. And their job is to dump that water on you to put your fire out. Their job is to put every fire. You ever wondered why the First Baptist Church downtown never has any problems? Have you ever wondered why the big cult? I've had people tell me, they said, Lord, preacher, I never had no trouble. I got right with God and started coming to his churches. I had one of our ladies tell me not long ago. She said, as soon as we get over one thing, something else terrible happened. I said, well, great day in the morning. I wouldn't want to be a part of a church so sorry the devil didn't fight it, would you? I mean, I wouldn't want to belong to one that the devil didn't even bother with. I'd want to be at a church that the devil fought. And the devil will fight a fire burning and try to put it out. So the devil puts his fire, sees his fire burning here at Pensacola, and he calls out his demon. He says, go down there and put that fire out. And it's your job to keep it burning, and it's their job to put it out. And if you're not careful, they'll put the fire out in your individual life. And if you're not careful, they'll put the fire out in the church. That's their job. You see, he's got one of those big old buckets like his. One of them's full of pride. And boy, they'll take that bucket there, and they'll make you proud, you know. You know what's his proud business? Did you know I've met some people that was proud that they weren't proud? They said, I'm the humblest one in the church. And boy, I tell you, man, they'll eat up with it. They were so proud of their humility. Somebody said that pride, God crowns with mercy, but his crown won't fit a swollen head. And boy, we walk around with our nose stuck in the air like we're somebody, you know. And God and everybody knows what we were, for the Lord got us. And you and the Lord knows how sorry you still are. And yet we still have to stick our nose up. Boy, we're something. We're tough stuff. We're a big shot. God sure was lucky when he got me. Yeah. I tell you, he's been trying to straighten it out ever since he got you. But that's what the devil will do. He'll make you proud. He'll make world. He'll make you. Let me tell you something. We're in a Baptist church, and a lot of times all we hear is long hair, short dresses, movie, all of that. And all that stuff is the world, but there's a lot more world than that. Whatever cools your affection for Christ is the world. Anything takes your mind away from God, anything that distracts you and gets you cold and don't want to pray and don't want to read the Bible is the world. What about your temper? I know some Baptist preachers and some young preachers. They got everybody thinking they're really right with God, but their wife and kids knows better. Because they cuss them out on the way to church. I've seen them going down the road, you know, smacking the young'uns in the back seat. Turn around there and then get up, you know, stick her hand out. And boy, they can't hold their temper in at home. One old fellow said up home, he said, if your religion ain't done nothing for your temper, it ain't done nothing for your soul. And I don't know about that, but that's pretty strong language. But I guess there's something to it. And if you're going down to what job and you haul off and cuss 2 or 3 days a week and blow your testimony and spout off and say things that ain't right, you know what you need to do? The devil's trying to put the fire out in your life, and you need to come up here and ask God to get that water off of you and keep the fire burning in your life again. Somebody said, if you get really saved, your cat and dog will know the difference. You reckon that's right? But I'll tell you what's the biggest bucket the devil's got. He's got a great big one. Big 55-gallon barrel one. And right on the side of it, it's got wrote, gossip. Now the devil, hey, how many liquor stores are there in Pensacola? I hope you don't know. All right, let's say at least 100 bars, beer stores, 7-Elevens, all that. Let's say at least 100. Did you know 100 beer, wine, liquor stores in Escambia County cannot hurt this church like you people in here wagging your tongues? Can't hurt it. Their liquor stores can't hurt this church. Prostitutes downtown can't hurt this church. Everywhere I go, you know what I find is killing churches. The devil takes that old gossip barrel, he dumps it over on the church, and people start this. Did you know, did you hear what they said, she said, we said, they said, she said, we said. And I'd have never dreamed that they said, she said, we said, they said, she. And I know that brother so-and-so's first cousins, aunts, uncles, best friends, next door neighbors, aunt from California used to go to that church. And she knows, because I heard it from her friend. That's what put the fire out. You ever wondered how come you can go to another church and get a blessing? I've heard people say, oh, I just love to come to your church and get a blessing. You know why? You know why? Because at your church you've heard all the gossip on everybody and all the bad talk about everybody. And the devil has succeeded in making you lose confidence in everybody, where it's a block, man. It's a block. If you hear something bad about a preacher, it's a block. When he gets up to preach, you can't help but think about that thing. And you try to put it out of your mind. Like, well, I reckon that's true. I reckon that ain't true. See what the devil does? He put the fire out in your life. And you know what's the best thing you ladies could do? Get you like big earrings. They're in style nowadays. Get you some great big ones that says no dumping. And hang them on both your ears and say, I don't want to hear you trash. If it is true, God will deal with it. And if it's not true, it ain't none of my business, no way. I want God to bless me. You'll never get a blessing any other way. I pastored the same church for 13 years this coming March. And the church, our church is the largest church in our county, in a county with 38,000 people in it. I know what ruins churches. It's tongues. Not the charismatic kind, neither. Somebody asked that one old preacher, they said, are you seeking tongues? He said, Lord, no, I'm seeking a bridal for the one of God. That's what we need, brother. We don't need other tongues. We ought to start controlling this one. And preacher's about the worst in the world. Amen. There's so much jealousy in the house of the Lord. Well, there's somebody got the job I want, and somebody got the Sunday school class I want, and I don't like her, and she don't like me. And I found out did you know every time a woman don't like another woman, it's because that woman thinks she's prettier than she is. I've observed that down through the years. Truth. That's the truth. What's not, it is too. They always don't like the pretty ones. You let an old ugly girl come in. Oh, she's so sweet. We just love her to death. That's right. Jealousy's cruel as the grave. Envy's rottens the bones. And I'll tell you, brother, you don't seem to put the fire out in your life. You just get old gossip. I'll tell you something else I've noticed. Every time gossip gets started in the church, it's always the same bunch. If gossip gets started in our church, I can tell you within 20 people who it is. And there's got 60 of them here tonight, and y'all better shut your mouth and don't go back and say that. This is an illustration. I guarantee it, and not miss it, 10 or 12 people one way or the other. It's always the same ones. Well, yeah, you know what? Most preachers can't even preach because they've been talked to. Well, preacher, I don't think so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. Preacher's better off if he don't know nothing about nobody. Amen. That's right. Well, I'm going to go tell the pastor. You just leave him alone. Let God deal with him. Let the Lord give him his messages. You're liable to hinder him more than you're happy. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That pastor says one thing I don't like, and I'll give him a piece of... Yeah, that's what kills our churches. Heard about the little boys at school, and they was bragging about their daddies. And one of them's daddy was a lawyer, and he was bragging. He said, my daddy makes $70,000 a year. This is a long time ago. And he said, my daddy owns a house up in the mountains and a condominium on the lake. And, you know, and we got a 4x4 Jimmy and a yacht, and we got all kinds of things. And he said, the doctor's kid said, well, that ain't nothing. He said, my daddy takes us to Bahamas once a year. And we go to Hawaii about once a year. And he said, we always go to the beach and go to the mountains. And we own a split-level home and go to Colorado skiing every now and then. And he said, my daddy owns 2,000 acres of land. And there sat the preacher's kid. Not to be outdone, he looked at him and he said, that ain't nothing. My daddy owns hell. Well, they said he does not. He said he does too. My daddy owns hell. They said your daddy don't own hell. Shut up. He said he does own hell. They said, well, how do you get that? He said, I heard him tell mama the deacons give it to him. Now listen, if you get in a rock throwing contest, you know who's going to be left? Nobody. Well, I believe, bless God, we ought to have church discipline and kick them out. Who's going to do the kicking? Who's in the position to kick nowadays? Boy, I tell you what, man, I just soon let the Lord handle it, preach the word, do His will. You better watch that stuff. You find something wrong with me, I can find three things wrong with you. That's what kills us. That's what puts a fire out. I know people in our church tonight, back home in North Carolina, that back years ago committed horrible sins. And nobody knows about it but them and me, and maybe me and one other person. And I've kept my mouth shut all these years. You know why? It ain't going to do no good to bring it up. Somebody's got forgiveness and they're trying to live for God. Just shut your mouth and let the church roll on and let God have His way. Don't keep picking and a-picking and a-picking and a-picking. That's the devil. Make the fire go out. Make the fire go out. That's water that stops the fire. You can throw something at me, somebody will throw something right back at you. One pastor comes to one of his men in the choir. You know, somebody can't sing and they get up and sing in the choir. You'll live. Get over it, man. It ain't going to kill you. Ever, you need to be embarrassed on Sunday morning in front of your visitors. Really? Every once in a while, we have a big shot come in. And one day, we're sitting there, and these big shots come in. I forgot who they was, but they, and I thought, boy, I hope we can make a good impression on them. Now let's break them in easy, Lord. And I said, don't let it get too wild this morning, because, you know, break them in, let them get it gradually. Maybe come three or four times before it really gets bad. Sure enough, buddy, God ain't going to let that happen. Sure enough, the Lord said, well, Mr. Reverend, when did you get so dignified? About that time, one of them boys on the front row cut loose. And I mean, you know, one of them about half crazy or something, give some crazy testimony. Don't make no sense. Slobber all over the visitors, you know, and then the, whoa! I'm sitting there going, you know who needs getting older? Me. That's right, brother. That's right. We don't have to impress nobody. And brother, we're here to tell you. You say, well, so-and-so, I wish they wouldn't sing in the choir. They just can't sing and they mess it up. Listen, if a man's doing it from the bottom of his heart and doing it for God, you just let him go, brother. Just let him go. Let God get the glory. So the pastor come to this fellow in his choir and he said, you've got to get out of the choir. And the guy said, why? He said, five or six people have told me you can't sing. The guy got mad and said, that's nothing. There's been 50 people told me you can't preach. Hey, if somebody makes a mistake in church, don't worry about it. You'll get over it, big shot. Y'all, you've had it anyway. There's no hope for you people ever being big shots. It's impossible. It can't happen. You're done gone, man. You're past the point of no return. You're over the deep end. You've had it. You just might as well just go on. Let them say what they're going to say. Let them do what they're going to do. Worship God and we'll find out who's right in the end. I mean, somebody does something. People do all kind of wrong things. I heard about a little girl the other day, or recently I read, and she was real sick in church. She told her daddy, she said, Daddy, I'm about to throw up. He said, well, hurry, honey, run to the bathroom. So she ran out and she came right back in just a minute. He said, well, that was quick. She said, oh, I didn't have to go all the way to the bathroom, Daddy. There was a little box right there beside the door, and it said, for the sick. Oh, man. Have you ever met these people? Oh, they're so spiritual. That they make you, oh man, they're so grouchy they'll have to hire somebody to come cry at their funeral. Somebody will come around there when they're dead and say, do you want him cremated, embalmed, or buried? They'll say, do all three, man. We don't want to take no chances. Yeah. It would be a blessing.
if a lot of God's people died. It would. I hate to say that, but it would. It'd be wonderful. It would be wonderful. I don't see no hope for some church. I preached in 45 churches in 1989 besides our church. And most of them were little country churches. Within an hour where I live. And I begin to see the same thing over and over and over and over. You got one little bunch that they run the church for 30 years, and Grandpa gave the land the building was built on, and Papa used to spit out that window right over there, and we never done it like that before, and blah, blah, blah. And they said, we're not going to have that because we've been in the way for me. And that's the problem. If they'd get out of the way and get where God could bless, the Lord might do something. Stop the fire. Cheating, robbing God, all that stuff will stop the fire. Then let's say, thirdly, the wood that sustains a fire. Now listen, you ever build a fire in a fireplace? I got a fireplace at home. And last year was the first time we'd ever had it, last winter. And it didn't get cold last winter. It did this year, but last year it didn't get cold away up about in January. And we couldn't wait to use our new fireplace. And my middle daughter, she was four at the time, every night she'd say, Daddy, when are we going to build a fire? I'd say, honey, it ain't cold enough. Well, I was wanting to build one bad as she was. So finally we started building. We'd open the doors and windows and everything. It was hot outside. And just build a fire. There's a couple of things I found out real quick about building fires. First of all, there's a little door up in the fireplace. And you better have that door open if you're going to build a fire. You won't be able to see in your house in a few minutes. Then I'll tell you something else. You got to have a draft. You got to have the wind coming through there. And boy, we'd build those fires and we'd sit, you know, and pop popcorn or something and watch the fire burn. And we thought, boy, I can't wait. It gets real good and cold. We'll sit here and burn fires and watch it snow and pop popcorn. And me and the kids would sit there. And I got to thinking about that. And I'll sit there and watch that fire. There's another thing I found out real quick. You don't sit and watch a fire and keep sitting there watching it and watching it and watching it and watching it. You got to keep it burning. Boy, look how I said, boy, I got it going now, kids. About 30 minutes, 20 minutes, I'd look back and it'd be down about half that big. I'd be going outside, getting in some more sticks of wood. I'd throw another one on her. Crack, it'd pop and crack real loud. And boy, she'd be ablaze and you couldn't even stand close to it. I'd back off over here, a few minutes, it'd die down again. A fire don't keep burning by itself. Have you ever heard the old timers say when they were growing up, they'd have a good roaring fire at night. They'd pile a cover on about that thick. And they'd get up in the morning and frost would be on your nose. And you take your toe and went out there and just put it on the floor. It'd be ice cold. And you dreaded getting out. Have you ever done that when you was growing up? Okay, there's a few old timers in here tonight. Boy, I'll tell you, you know what happened? Fire went out. The fire went out at night. And you got to go in there and chunk it and put that little thing, you know, and blow wind on it and stick it and put more wood on the fire. Now, there's three logs that you got to put on the fire of your soul to keep the fire burning. Now, let me say this to all these preachers that's up here praying a while ago. You're going to get out there one of these days and God's going to put you somewhere. And you're not going to be able to get your fire from the congregation. They're going to have to get their fire from you. Do you hear me? I want to say that again. You ain't going to get it from them. They ain't got none. They're going to want it from you. I've heard preachers say, boy, I just went down there. I hate to preach down there. Lord, that place is dead. It's 4 o'clock. That's what God calls you for, start a fire. Anybody can get up here and preach when the fire's already burning and catch it off each other, and boy, we can all get in a blaze of glory together. But you'll never get anywhere for God until you got a little fire of your own, something burning down in there. You say, well, I just can't preach if the congregation don't back me. Well, you'll never be a street preacher. They don't back you out there. Amen. I've heard preachers get up and say, now, if you don't pray, I can't preach. Better never go street preaching. They don't pray for you out there. Now, I want you to pray, but if you don't, I got to have my own generator. I got to have something inside me that God's put inside me that said it's going to burn in me, Lord, whether it does anybody else or not. The fire burns inside my soul. Three logs. Number one, the Word. Take out a big old log of this book and throw it on the fireplace of your heart every day. Now, we're in the hot spot, Pensacola, Florida. How many of you people here tonight have read your Bible every single day? What is this? This ain't but the 18th. Surely to goodness you've read it 18 days straight. You have read your Bible every day of 1990. Raise your hand. Oh. Oh. That's only two-thirds. And look where we are. Go into the average church and ask that question. Now I'll ask you something. What in the world wrong with the rest of you people? How many of you have ate every day in 1990? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've ate food every day in 1990. There's the other ones that didn't raise their hand a minute ago. You know why these other ones didn't raise their hand? Because they fasted some. Now, what is wrong with you? Do you honestly think the fire's going to burn 24 hours without throwing any wood on it? Well, Brother Danny, I go to church every Sunday. Show me a fire to burn one Sunday the next Sunday. Anybody here got a wood stove that can put a log on it? I don't care if you buy one of them new fake logs at the store. You buy them about that big, I don't know what's in them things, gas or something. They're supposed to burn 3 hours. It said for an evening's glow. And for about $1.49, you can put one log in there and it stinks like diesel fuel or something. And you burn that thing, you put one in, God ain't got none of them kind. You got to put the Word on there. The Word on there. Oh, Jeremiah, he read the Word of God. He was a prophet and he loved the Lord. And you've heard Dr. Ruckman, I'm sure, teach how that Jeremiah got discouraged. He wound up down there in the pit and lost everything he had. Roaches and rats and worms all over him and everything down in there. And he said, I have had it with this mess. I ain't going to preach no more. If I ever get out of here, I'll never preach another sermon. I've had it. I quit. And the Lord said, is that what you want? He said, that's what I want. I'm out of it. I've never been treated like this till I started preaching. And God said, okay, I ain't going to make it. And so he wasn't long till he got out of there. And old Jeremiah went down the street. What a beautiful day. Boy, it's good to be a civilian again. I'll just go and make a good living and settle down. I'll get me a little wife and settle down on the farm somewhere. And boy, I'll tell you, I'll just take it easy and have me some chickens and dogs and cows and pigs and raise my own food. And boy, about that time he saw a bunch coming up the street over here and they had these great big signs. And it said E-R-A. And boy, old Jeremiah looked at that and he said, ooh. And it brought back old memories to him. And he felt something down in here. He said, look, I ain't getting involved in that again. I've quit. I ain't a mess with that stuff. He said, I'll just walk down this other street. Walk down this other street. He saw these old neon lights flashing. One of them said, Bud Dummer. Another one said, Miller Lowlife. Another one said, Topless Bar. Another one said, come on in, you know, Gay Bar. And boy, he's... And something in here go, he'd push it back down. Something in here go, you know what that was in there? The Word. The Word. The Word. You know why a lot of God's people can sit and watch Phil Donahue and Geraldo and Oprah and everything else and it don't never bother them and it don't ever get stirred up and you see everything going on out in the world and it don't, there ain't enough of the Word in there. There's no log on the fire. And old Jeremiah saw that and it said, down with the King James Bible. Jesse Jackson for the president and said this and that and boy it wasn't long he said his word was in my heart as a what? Burning fire. That word was in there. That thing started burning. He jumped up and started preaching. He said, I couldn't help it. It was on the inside. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you pack enough of that book inside you, it'll come out. It'll make fire burn. Nothing will make a fire burn like the Word of God. I'll never forget when I first got saved. I didn't know one verse of Scripture. I was 18 years old. I did not know one verse of Scripture. Lord called me to preach when I'd been saved 11 months, when I was 19. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know that the pews were... I heard people say pew. I said, pew? What's a pew? I called them bleachers. I'd go home, Mom say, Danny, did you have a good service? I said, yeah, Mom, the stands was full. Boy, we had a time tonight. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I called Malachi Malachi. I really did. Boy, me and them boys, we'd get together and study the Bible. Lord, you never heard such doctrine in all your born days. I said, it's over there in Habakkuk somewhere. It's right over there in Malachi chapter 3. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, you know. And I didn't know anything about it. I thought, for all I knew, an epistle was an apostle's wife. Reason some of you ain't laughing, you still don't know the difference. Do you know what I done? I said, I'm going to read the Bible. I said, I can't understand it. I said, I'm going to read it anyway. So one day I got up. I began to read the Bible. And I remember, never will forget, one day, it was in the summer. I got up. I read the Bible from about 9 o'clock in the morning till about lunchtime. About lunchtime, my mom said, Danny, why don't you go get us something to eat? I went uptown, got us some chicken. Brought it back. That was a sign right there. You heard about old Colonel Sanders dying when he died. You know, he did get saved before he died. They said his family got in a big argument over, you know, when he died, how to get rid of him. You know, they couldn't ever decide whether they wanted original or extra crispy when they was going to cremate him. But anyway, God saved that old boy because he fed so many preachers. He gave him extra grace, I believe it. He went from church to church trying to get right. Never could get right. God gave him a few extra days, so he finally made it in. He was 79, got saved. But anyway, I went and got us some chicken, brought it back home. We eat that chicken, sit around, read the Bible all evening. That evening, about 4 o'clock, went over to my girlfriend's house, sat around a little while, come back home. I started reading the Bible again. About 8 o'clock that night, I was reading. It got dark. Sky got black. Lightning started flashing. And I had the window open. The wind was blowing. And I was only 18 years old. And I'd been on rock music and on the world and on everything else all the time. Buddy, I was eating that stuff up. I read about 120 chapters that day. And I remember I was sitting at a desk like this. I was way over in 2 Chronicles. I couldn't pronounce the words. I got so sick of all them syllables. But I was bound and determined I was going to say every one of them. I was going to make myself say every one of them. And boy, I read those things, and God started, that lightning started flashing outside, and all of a sudden that thing started getting real to me, and the Lord visited me inside that room that night. I can't tell you what I felt in my soul. I can't tell you how real it was when the Lord come in there, and I said, great day in the morning, the God that I'm reading about right here is the God that's out there making that wind and that lightning and that wind, sky and that rain. I said, glory to God. That fire began to burn in my heart. The Word of God. I read 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles that day. Didn't understand any of it. There's a fire burning in my heart the next day. You say, you really believe all that stuff in the Bible? Sure. Let me tell you how powerful the Word of God is. There's a missionary over in China. He's over there preaching. He couldn't get much done. People were worshiping idols. And this one lady got saved. And her husband was a great big fat Chinaman. And he worshiped idols. And she tried to get him to come to the services. And he never would come. And finally she got him to come one service. He said, out of respect to you, honey, I'll go one time. But I ain't going to listen to one word that fella says. So into the open air service, had it like a brush harbor. In come that big fat Chinaman, sat down there that night. And he sat there and looked like this. And when the preacher got up to preach, he took them big old fingers and stuck one in one ear and one in the other ear and just sat there like this. And the fellow started preaching. And he'd been preaching about 10 minutes. And about that time, here come a big old horse fly. And it went over that congregation a time or two like a 747. And ordered by the Lord, come to a 3-point landing right on the end of that old boy's nose. And there he went. And he was trying to get that thing off him. And that thing was a biting him. And about that time he took one hand loose and started trying to get it. And as soon as he'd done that, that preacher come across John 3:16. Said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when he said that, those words went in that ear, down in that old China man's heart, and it began to listen. and he pulled out the other finger and listened. He came to the altar that night and got saved, got rid of his idols. That's a book, brother. That am a book. You hear me? That is a book. There ain't nobody got a book like we've got. That's the greatest book in the world. That book is powerful. That book is dynamite. That book will blow sin out of your life. An old atheist was talking to a lady one time, and he said, "You don't believe all that Bible, do you?" And she said, "Sure do." He said, "Now, all that stuff about Jonah and that whale, and the whale swallowed, oh, come on, you don't believe that, do you?" She said, "Why, sure I do." And he went into all big rigmarole, you know, about there ain't no whales in that part of the world. I can't imagine anybody being that stupid. He said, "Well, I read a book, Brother Danny, and it said there isn't any whales." Well, don't you think God could stick one in there if he wanted one?
Yeah.
Somebody else wrote one, said whales couldn't get their mouth open big enough to swallow a man. That ain't the dumbest thing I ever heard of in my life. Do you know that God could make a minnow swallow Jonah if he'd wanted to? Hey, man, who do you think we're messing with here? God could have made Jonah swallow the whale. I've seen a lot of women open their mouth big enough to swallow one. He said, "You don't believe that, do you?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I sure do. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah all about it." He said, "Oh, smarty, what if he ain't in heaven?" She said, "Well, you can ask him." I'll tell you, the Word of God's true. You know, I'll try to get my Bible done, reading done in the morning, and also try to read it at night when the girls have gone to bed. And being, I am a single parent, as you know, with three girls. And boy, after I get the girls down to sleep, a lot of times I'll get my Bible. And my middle one, who is five now, she was four then, a lot of times she'll want to come in my room and sleep with me. And she said, "Dad, can I sleep with you?" And I said, "Yeah, come on, honey." And she got up one night and I was laying there reading my Bible like this. And I seen her looking at me. She said, "I'm going to go get my Bible." She ran downstairs, went into her room, got one of those little bitty Gideon Bibles like somebody bought her and put her name put on it when she was just a little baby. And I could see her out of the corner of my eye. She wanted to sit just like I sat. And she put her shoulders and everything she was going to do just like me. She didn't know if her Bible was upside down. Well, and I was kind of smiling out of the corner of my eye. I didn't let her know I was looking at her. And she looked and I said, "Now, honey, that's the Bible." She went. I said, "The Bible's true." I always told my girls, I said, "It's all true." And she said, "All of it." And buddy, how thankful I was. How grateful I was, brethren, to be able to look at a four-year-old girl back in the eyes. I'm glad I didn't have to say, "Well, honey, except for 1 John 5:7, it's all true." Except, boy, wouldn't that have blew her mind at 4 years old? I'm glad I didn't have to say the last type of Romans 8:1. And there's also some spurious passages in Mark 16 and others. And but there are parts of it, honey, and Daddy will show you if he ever finds out which one is true and which one isn't true. No, no, no. I could look back at my little four-year-old girl. I look back at her and I said, "Yes, darling, it's all true." Of course, I didn't say it that loud to her, but I said, "Yes, it's all true." How wonderful that is. And then there's another log to throw in your fire, and that's worship. You know what y'all do every day? Y'all just haul off and worship God. You know what our problem is? We're afraid we'll be a hypocrite. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were afraid of being a hypocrite in all areas of our life? Like we're afraid in the area of worship. We are scared that somebody, you know, that we're, I've heard people say, "Well, I think if you just shout and say amen, if you don't feel it, that you shouldn't do it. You show me that in the book." I'll show you where it said, "Let everything have breath. Praise the Lord." Let me ask you something, man. When you got a headache, is your name in the book of life? When your back is hurting, are you still saved? At out what is wrong. We're just, you know what our problem is? We have to be electrified. We have to have some preacher or somebody get up and charge us up, and we have to draw it out of us before we'll shout. Why, there ain't nothing wrong with just getting up sometime and just shouting on sheer principles, man. You're jumping up and saying, glory to God, I'm saved. I don't feel like it, but I am. I don't like everything, but I'm saved. I'm not enjoying the ride always, but I am saved. I am one of God's young'uns. I do belong to God. That's hallelujah, glory to God anyhow. If you'll do that, it won't be long till you'll feel something burning down in there. That's right. Try it sometime. Try it. You ladies, have a big old stack of ironing laying right here. Going in there saying, good night, God, if you was getting me, I'd have a maid. God, won't get... No! Grab one of them shirts, put it on the ironing board, and say, woo! It's good to be saved! You say, well, I couldn't do that. Try it. Try it tomorrow. That's right, man. Try it. Shout mowing the grass. Guy said one time, he says, well, do you believe all that shouting at that church is of God? I said, no. You believe all that sleeping at your church is of God? What if it ain't all of God? So what? Gonna quit it all because some of it ain't of God? Well, we had this thing going at our church about a year ago in the fall. And we had a fall program going. We had, you know, pumpkins and haystacks and corn stalks and Indian corn, you know, trying to have a fall atmosphere type thing. And one night the kids was up singing and I was turned around here leading the youth choir and boy, it got on. Now, when it gets on, I don't want to shut it down. I just egg it on. I mean, you don't get in them like that all the time. If you get in a good one, boy, don't, Lord have mercy, don't stop it. Fan that thing. Just fan it. Let the wind blow on it. And boy, I said, sing it again. And boy, we took off. You know, I could have just stopped singing and stopped everything. I said, no, if the Lord's a blessing, people's getting right, you know, and people under conviction and people crying. There's always two things the Spirit of God does in a service. If the Spirit of the Lord's working, it always does two things. Number one, it'll bless the saints. Number two, it'll convict the sinners. And boy, people got to shouting and praising God that night. I heard them over here. I heard them over there. Woo! Woo! You know, they started running the aisles. I said, sing, sing, sing! About that time I seen one of them pumpkins fly by me. I said, what was that? And everybody was a-laughing, having the best time. Well, the next morning was Monday. I went in the bank downtown. And everybody in the town knows us. And I walked in there. We had two ladies in our church at work in that bank. And so I was standing in there, you know, dignified, uptown preacher. And about that time, a girl goes to our church and said, Brother Danny, I thought Steve's going to hit you with that pumpkin last night. I said, shut up. It embarrassed me to death. Everybody in that bank turned around and looked at me. And one of the other girls said, what are you talking about? She said, oh, at church last night, it's funny. One of them boys throwed a pumpkin about hit the preacher. And this looked like this real rich lady standing there turned around and said, at church? I said, oh, no, Lord, no. No. Why does stuff like that happen? I said, I know it'd be going on all over town now. We gang up down here on Sunday night and throw pumpkins at each other. If they ever say anything, oh, I don't believe in all that stuff. Well, you just turn around and say, well, I didn't see nobody asleep that night. Yeah, you know what a guy said one time not long ago? He said, I don't believe in all that carrying on. That's theatrics. Well, I believe it's Billy Sunday said the biggest trick the devil ever pulled on the church is when he took drama out of the pulpit and put it on the theater screen. They said, well, we're stealing that from Hollywood. No, man, we had it before there was a Hollywood. They stole it from us. God's always people has people been emotional. God's people's always shouted and worshiped God. You say, this sure is an abnormal church. Not according to the Bible, it ain't. You're the one that goes to the abnormal church. Somebody said, normal has become so abnormal. If anybody ever does get normal nowadays, they're considered abnormal. Yeah.
You need to worship. Then the last thing is witness. Throw a witness log on there every day. Every day. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have at least passed out a gospel tract? Or at least invited somebody to serve? At least tried to be some kind of witness today? Raise your hand. Amen. That's great. That's great. That's a big number of people here tonight. Listen, I'm pastor of a church. Sometimes on visitation night, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Some people think that preachers, they think that we automatically wake up in the morning, that our hair is never messed up. They do. They think we sleep in a suit. I lots of times, I have an old pair of pants, an old shirt, and somebody say, "Brother Danny, I just have never imagined you like that." You think I sleep in a tie? I hate ties. I hate them, man. The only reason I wear one, because if I didn't, you'd say, "Well, what kind of preacher is that? Don't even wear a tie." That's the only reason I do it. Like old Mitchell said, somebody said homosexuals invented ties. I don't know if they did or not, but if we ever find out proof on that, we'll all quit. We don't sleep in a tie. Our hair gets messed up. Our breath stinks. We don't want to go to visitation. We don't want to witness. Sometimes you say, "I don't even want to go to church." Sometimes we don't even want to see you. Boy, I've said, you know what the devil will say? "You can't go visiting because you're not right and you're a hypocrite." And I say, "Well, I'm a pastor. I got to go." He said, "You're a hypocrite." "Well, I'm a hypocrite. Shut up." While you're being a hypocrite, go win somebody to the Lord. Gonna be one anyway. Might as well get somebody else saved. Yeah. You know, I went out dead. It's 4 o'clock before, and I went in there and said, "I feel like the biggest hypocrite in town. I can't tell nobody about the Lord. I'm about half backslid myself." And I'd sit down there and take the scriptures and start going through them with somebody. And I'd say, "Looky here, sir. Do you believe this? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commendeth His love toward us." And that why? And you know, before I get through, I feel something burning down in here. And the guy might not even get saved, but when I leave there, I feel a fire. I put a log on it. Now, I'll tell you how to keep the fire burning, fellas. Put the Word of God on there every day. This book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from this book. If you keep reading the Bible, you quit your sinning. If you keep sinning, you quit reading the Bible. You ain't going to keep doing both. Read it every day. Worship God every day. Witness every day. And you'll keep your fire burning in your life. Let's stand. Let's stand. Come on, brother. Now, we'll sing or do whatever the preacher wants us to tonight. Let's all stand. Maybe sing a verse of some old song. And you just let God work in your heart tonight as the service continues.
All right, let's stand. It'll be an invitation this time. Let's stand, though, and let's sing number 2. And the band come down if you would and get your places. Let's sing number 2 in the hymnal, "'Tis Marvelous and Wonderful," number 2.